This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, January 9th, 2014. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Thomas. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and service through a collective voice.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas leads a roundtable discussing the biggest legislative issues of 2013. Plus, Crowder College prepares to celebrate the grand opening of its new Jane, Missouri campus.
Also, Carroll County revisits the creation of a rural public water supply. The Literacy Council of Benton County organizes its annual Scrabble Wars fundraiser and more.
But first, the Community Blood Center of the Ozarks has issued a code red alert for all blood types, meaning that blood supply levels are critically low. Chris Pilgrim is the marketing manager of the organization.
That's an emergency appeal. We like to tell the public about our blood stores by giving them the stoplight system. And when conditions are good and we've got at least a 3-day supply, we are code green. If a certain type drops below a 2-day supply, we'll call a code yellow. A code red is a whole different deal, though, and we have issued a code red emergency appeal. We've got less than a 1-day supply of virtually every type of blood. So we're calling on all donors to Community Blood Center of the Ozarks to give for area patients and to give sooner rather than later.
We'll learn more about why blood supplies are so low and what you can do to help in a few minutes on Ozarks.
Congressional leaders say a vote on the farm bill could come before they recess for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas says conferees are expected to meet today and tomorrow to hash out details for the final bill because there are still disagreements.
You've got a few regulatory issues. You've got perhaps a few commodity issues. So a little bit of everything scattered about, but I don't think it's anything that all of us don't feel like that we can't overcome. And the reality is, you know, if you have an issue that you just simply can't agree on, the last stage is just to vote.
Analysts say the farm bill, when passed, could generate more than $20 billion in savings over 10 years.
The first television ad for the state's 2014 gubernatorial contest began airing this week. It features an endorsement by Governor Mike Beebe.
No one is more independent than Mike. So please join me in supporting Mike Ross for governor.
Roby Brock from Talk Business Arkansas says Beebe's appearance in the ad is a good thing for Ross.
Well, if there was any doubt that Mike Ross, the Democratic candidate for governor, was going to try to hitch his wagon to a popular governor, Mike Beebe, this first TV commercial of the 2014 gubernatorial campaign should clear up any confusion. Beebe is prominent in announcing his endorsement of Ross in this first TV ad. And with Beebe's popularity among Democrats, among independents, and even among Republicans, this is a strong ad for Mike Ross.
The ad should run for several weeks. Ross is the only Democrat seeking the nomination, while Curtis Coleman, Asa Hutchinson, and Deborah Hobbs are seeking the Republican nomination.
The University of Arkansas in Fayetteville continues to receive favorable rankings from U.S. News and World Reports. 4 online U of A degree programs were ranked on the publication's Best Online Programs ranking that was released yesterday. The Master of Science in Engineering degree was ranked 23rd of 55 online graduate engineering programs, up 2 places from last year. The engineering degree was also ranked 18th among public universities on the list. Meanwhile, other online programs at the College of Education and Health Professions were included on the U.S. News ranking for the first time. The online graduate education programs were ranked 42 of 166 ranked programs and ranked 34 among public institutions. And the Master of Science in Nursing degree was ranked 71st of 96 online graduate nursing programs and 48th among public universities. Also, the oldest online degree offered by the college, a bachelor's degree in human resource and workforce development education, placed 56th of 207 on the list of best online bachelor's degree programs, or 32nd among public institutions. John Brown University was also included in the publication's top 100 online degree programs. The college's online bachelor's degree program, which offers degrees in business administration and liberal arts, was tied with 2 other universities at number 77 on the list.
A potential acquisition of the Siloam Springs-based Allens Incorporated is one step closer to reality after a bankruptcy court approved the deal earlier this week. According to the City Wire, bankruptcy judge Ben Berry approved the $148 million stalking horse bid for the Allens canning operation by New York-based Seneca Foods. The court approval clears the way for an asset purchase agreement through which Seneca Foods intends to acquire much of the canning operation in a court-supervised process, according to the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. With the asset purchase agreement in place, an auction will be held to achieve the highest or best offer for Allen's assets. The bankruptcy court also set deadlines and procedures for the bidding process, leaving interested parties until January 27th to submit qualified bids to acquire assets. If qualified bids are received in addition to Seneca's stalking horse bid, an auction will be held on February 3rd.
Little Rock-based Axiom yesterday announced a round of layoffs that will trim the data marketing firm's workforce by roughly 50 workers. According to Talk Business Arkansas, some of those trimmed positions are in middle management, though less than half of the layoffs will be in Arkansas. The layoffs were previously hinted at in the company's last earnings report in November, when company officials referred to an initiative to increase efficiencies and further improve performance across the company. As part of the company's larger restructuring program, a smaller number of upper management personnel were let go last year, and more job cuts may be on the horizon before the end of March, when the company's fiscal year ends. Actions associated with the restructuring program are expected to be complete.
Tonight, expect mostly cloudy conditions with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight and lows around 36 degrees. Tomorrow, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 3 p.m. and highs in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers before midnight and lows around 32 degrees.
As we mentioned earlier, the Community Blood Center of the Ozarks has issued a code red alert for all blood types, meaning that blood supply levels are critical. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis yesterday spoke with Chris Pilgrin, the marketing manager of Community Blood Center of the Ozarks, who says the blood shortage is system-wide.
Well, Community Blood Center of the Ozarks donors support patients at 38 area hospitals, including 11 there in northwest Arkansas. And it's a system-wide shortage. We are supplying hospitals at the rate that we can right now, and we're hopeful that the public responds, and we have seen a good response since we called the emergency appeal.
So how often does Community Blood Center of the Ozarks issue a code red for all blood types?
It's a very rare occurrence. You know, the last time we issued a code red at all was for the Joplin tornado, in the aftermath of the Joplin, Missouri tornado back in May of 2011. So that was almost 3 years ago. That, by the way, was a code red alert for type O negative blood only, it being the universal type that can be used by anybody. That code red alert lasted all of 5 or 6 hours. So we had enough donor response that we were able to call off that code red alert. This one should be a little bit longer because, like I say, our stockpile has fallen.
So how specifically has the winter weather impacted the blood stores?
Well, you go back to actually the month of November to kind of tell this story. We had a pretty good month of donations in the month of November. Then the beginning of December, you'll recall we had a pretty severe winter storm that knocked out almost 1,000 potential donations from drives we had to cancel. Later on, we had the holidays, both Christmas and New Year's, came on a Wednesday, and so they really kind of knocked a lot of donations out, and a lot of blood drives weren't able to go for that entire week. But those November donations that we had got us through the month, and those two mini crises. Whenever this latest storm hit last week, we didn't have the reserves to withstand. We've had a number of high schools that have canceled blood drives, including Fayetteville High School and other larger high schools, that when they're not in session, they're not going to hold drives. So those have been canceled. They are being rescheduled, but we need blood right now, and that's why the code red alert was announced.
The Red Cross in the past has told me that winter is typically a low time for blood donations. Do you agree with that?
We find that there's a couple of times a year when blood donations typically dip below optimum levels. And one time is the summer. We get a great deal of our blood, as I said before, from area high schools. And when those schools aren't in session, it's difficult for us to collect enough to meet area needs. Also in the winter, those schools go off, the colleges and high schools get off for the holiday breaks. People aren't maybe thinking about donating. They've got a lot of things in their mind, buying presents and family and friends and travel and things of that nature. So blood donation is typically not a top of mind during this time of year. So the winter weather also has to do with it. When we encounter winter storms, people can't get out to give blood. So it's not an uncommon occurrence for sure.
So what's the number one thing people should keep in mind if they're thinking about giving blood?
Well, number one, I think that with this code red alert and the emergency appeal is we need you immediately. We have got some additional hours at our Springdale and Bentonville donor centers. The Springdale Donor Center, you can give Thursday from 11 to 6, Friday from 8 to 5, and that's an extension of hours in the afternoon. And Bentonville, the same hours, 11 to 6 Thursday, Friday from 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. And if you can, be safe, of course, when you're out traveling on the roads, but if you can, we need you now.
That was Chris Pilgrim, Marketing Manager of Community Blood Center of the Ozarks, talking to Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis about the organization's Code Red Alert for all blood types. There are two donation centers in Northwest Arkansas. One is located on Thompson Street in Springdale, and the other is on Southeast Walton Boulevard in Bentonville. To find out about postponed or canceled blood drives or to learn more, you can visit cbco.org. Just ahead on Ozarks at Large, Crowder College prepares to open a new facility near the Arkansas-Missouri border.
We found that students will kind of travel in about a 10 to 15 mile radius. And so locating more opportunities for them to get to classes tends to help not only encourage them to go to college, but make it available for people to go.
In about 10 and a half minutes, we learn more about Crowder's new satellite location, which will have its grand opening celebration tomorrow morning. That story's just ahead on Ozarks at Large.
The Arkansas Legislature will convene in a little over a month on February 10th. Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, took advantage of the impending 2014 session to host a roundtable discussing the biggest legislative issues of 2013. He talked to Davy Carter, the Speaker of the House, Alan Kerr, a Republican House member from Little Rock, and Jason Tolbert, the author of the political blog The Tolbert Report. Their discussion began with a conversation about the private option passed by the legislature in the first part of last year.
The private option was one of the biggest deals of 2013. Well, I guess what was the who do you credit for coming up with the concept of how to make this change? Do you get all the credit, or
No. John Burris, Dismaying, Senator Dismaying, Sanders, Lamoureux, Bruce Westerman was involved early on. I mean, I'm going to forget some people, but there were a lot of people that got involved, and you know, it was a deal. So to speak, I mean, we use that term, but you know, when we realized that what was going to happen if we didn't do anything, that's when I think the turning point was, at least for me. I mean, was there we all agreed that there was a problem, an underlying problem, and could we solve that a different way than what was laid out in front of us? So you know, I'm excited about where we are. Mm-hmm. There was a committee meeting the other day, and public health, and it kind of got overlooked. But you know, the department put out some numbers where 115,000 people are coming off Medicaid through this process, which is one of the driving reasons why we did what we did, is to decrease Medicaid rolls. And so I think we're in a good spot, and I think there's going to be some good news over the coming weeks.
Representative Kerr, you were opposed to the private option when it came up for a vote. Do you, with what you're seeing now from the private option, does it look like it's working to you?
Honestly, you're talking to someone that works in the health insurance industry every single day. All I see is a lot of frustrated people. I see a lot of folks that were promised a product that can't have access to the product. I don't see it working well. It may level out in the future. I just don't know. But right now, a lot of the folks who who had health insurance to begin with are paying three times as much, honestly. And my daughter-in-law is one of those folks that would have fit real well into the private option. And we sat down and tried to get her signed up the other day and couldn't do it because of the system simply wouldn't let us in. So we're hoping, you know, I know Davey had a big vision for it in the future. All I'm looking at is the practical use today isn't real good, and I'm hoping it'll get better.
What are you hearing, Jason, in terms of the politics of it? How's it playing out?
Sure, it's interesting to watch it develop. I think we're getting to the stage where it's no longer theoretical about what's going to happen. We're seeing it actually start to be implemented, actually starting to go into place. And so the tricky thing is that you have the state private option, then you have the federal Obamacare, and the two things get mingled together so much that it's hard to separate the two out. And as we're really seeing really a disastrous rollout of the federal Obamacare, all the problems with healthcare.gov, that almost brings the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. And as we move into the phase where these things are actually going into place, implementation is beginning, whether it works or not, I think is going to be the determining factor as to whether it stays or not. People don't care so much about the philosophical angle of it. They care about whether the trains run on time.
Right.
And if it doesn't work, it's not going to stick around.
All right. Can I
piggyback off that a little bit?
Yeah.
I could not agree more with what Alan said about how this has been handled from the administration in Washington. I mean, I am still very much against the Affordable Health Care Act and what's going on nationally, and that could not have been handled any worse from start to finish.
But I'm not sure it's finished yet.
From start to where we are. So yeah. I agree totally that it has been a huge debacle nationally, and it's not fair to the American citizens. But I do find a little glimmer of hope. At least we do have what we have set up in Arkansas, that we're not just stuck with what was going to be rolled out forcefully on us anyway. So
what happened?
Well, I think and I agree with part of what he says, that on the philosophical level that it may be good for us in the long run. However, you got a product that they don't have access to, and that's still going to be some strain. At the end of the day, can they actually get health care? You know, that's what we're looking at.
60 seconds. Does the private option comes up for a vote again next year, Jason? What does your crystal ball tell you would happen if it was today?
I think it's going to have to be resold again. One of the votes for it in the Senate is now gone over in Jonesboro. Paul Bookout was for it. He's now no longer in the Senate. That election could determine whether you have a yes vote or a no vote down that chamber. I think it's going to be very close in the Senate chamber. I think it could come down to a one vote margin. And what happens with the health care reform over the next 2 or 3 months, and I guess really 2 months if we're talking about the fiscal session, will determine whether it gets renewed or not.
All right, so in the fiscal session in February, potentially the private option funding vote comes up again. Does it have the votes to pass?
Like Jason, I think it's going to be extremely close, a lot closer than you saw it the last time.
Well, it couldn't be much closer. Yeah. It was only like a two-vote margin last time. So how much closer can it get?
It may be down to one vote, quite honestly, because, like we were talking before the break, the whole nation is looking at Arkansas to see if this is going to hold up, see if it's going to work.
Speaker Carter, you got whips in place. What are they telling you? How many votes are out there?
I think it's going to be debated again. It should be. It's a big deal. It's important. I think it'll be close. I think at the end of the day, it'll pass because I feel like we're making some very good progress. And I think that will start coming to light here over the next few weeks. And I think we need to give this a shot. If we don't give our private option a shot and do what we're doing, mm-hmm. we're going to be stuck with what's going on across the country, and we don't have any control over that. So I think that will prevail over everything.
And everything
else
pivots back to Medicaid the way it was if we don't enact these reforms?
We don't have no more private insurance. We mm-hmm. go straight back to what's going on in Washington, D.C.
All right. There's appetite for that? Either one of you?
Well, and that's the question, is what's going to happen if it does drop? What happens to those people who have now switched? And that's going to be, I think, kind of a mess, really.
All right.
Prediction sure to be a bigger mess than it is now.
All right. Ahead. Predictions for 2014. We've been talking about 2013 and how some things may play out. We'll start with Alan, then we'll go Davey, then we'll go Jason. Predictions for 2014.
Yeah. I think industry, I think business is going to do a lot better. I think you're going to see home sales industry. I think the price is going to come up on home sales, which is another one of those pivotal things that they measure for you know, the economy itself. Politically, I think you're going to have some surprises. I think you're going to have some things that we kind of thought was going to happen. So.
All right, David.
I think we'll have a good year. We have a million three citizens coming off of the extended unemployment benefits. So I think that will drive down, because of the way we calculate that, you know, the unemployment number. We go into last year, we came into last year with a 10-year treasury at about 1.8%. It's at 3% again at the end of this year. And I think the big underlying story next year to me is how the Fed handles unwinding this $4 trillion balance sheet that it's been building up over the last two or three years. So that we'll be talking about that this time next year.
All right. Two business predictions, sure. Jason. You got to go politics.
Back to politics with mine. 2013, we saw a lot of sort of minor scandals take place here in Arkansas with State Treasurer Martha Shaffner, State Senator Paul Bookout. I think we're going to see those continue. I think you're going to hear about more scandals come out during 2014. I think there's going to be kind of a slow trickle as maybe one or two more of those come out as the year progresses.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas, speaking to Davey Carter, the Speaker of the House, Alan Kerr, a Republican House member from Little Rock, and Jason Tolbert, the author of the political blog The Tolbert Report. For more, you can visit talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices at Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at mitchellwilliamslaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity: coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com.
With Northwest Arkansas Community College in Bentonville, the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Northwest Arkansas residents have several options for education within a reasonable driving distance. In recent years, satellite campuses from JBU and NWAC, as well as Searcy-based Harding University, have popped up throughout the region, giving residents even more access to higher education closer to home. The latest satellite campus that could serve Northwest Arkansas students is located just over the state's northern border in Missouri. Tomorrow morning at 10, Crowder College will host a ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate the grand opening of James B. Tatum Hall in Jane, Missouri. Cindy Brown, Director of Public Information at Crowder College, says they broke ground in November of 2012, but the project has been in the works for several years.
We've been working towards where we can strategically locate facilities that are beneficial to our students. And our tax base comes from Newton and McDonald County. So obviously, McDonald County was one place we were looking to expand our offerings.
Crowder is a two-year state community college whose main campus is located in Neosho, Missouri. The institution was founded in 1963 and now has satellite campuses in Nevada, Cassville, and Webb City, where they're working on an expansion project that will more than double capacity by adding an additional 22,000 square foot building to the current site. Brown says they also offer classes through cooperative programs with area tech schools and high schools in Carthage, Lamar, Greenfield, Monette, and Mount Vernon. During the last 8 years, Crowder's enrollment has doubled, with more than 5,800 students attending classes during the 2013 fall semester.
Geographically, we've found that students will kind of travel in about a 10 to 15 mile radius. And so locating more opportunities for them to get to classes tends to help not only encourage them to go to college, but make it available for people to go. For example, we'll have students that may attend our Neosho campus, our Webb City campus. They may take a class in Carthage, or they might go to Neosho and Cassville. So they can get a variety of locations or the convenience of being able to take classes at several different locations. And we actually serve a 9-county service district in Southwest Missouri. We go about 2 counties east and west, and then 5 up: McDonald, Newton, Jasper, Barton, and Vernon counties.
With the new campus located so close to the Arkansas-Missouri border, it's possible Crowder may attract some students from Northwest Arkansas.
The population in McDonald County is fairly large, but we also realize that there's a very large population in Northwest Arkansas. We no longer have out-of-state tuition, which we think will be beneficial to some of those students. There are great colleges in Northwest Arkansas. We're hoping that we can complement with programs maybe that aren't available to them in their area. And help students with that. Maybe they travel this way to work, or, you know, for whatever reason, maybe we offer a class that's more convenient to their lifestyle or their schedule. And so hopefully we will draw some students from Northwest Arkansas as well.
Brown explains the board decided not to charge out-of-state tuition because of how close their various campuses are to the neighboring states of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. The new Jane, Missouri location will offer nursing classes as well as a variety of general education classes like English and psychology. The new campus will also create a central location for classes that had been taught in a number of locations throughout McDonald County for several years. For example, Brown says the nursing program used to be housed in a former Pineville lumberyard that they rented and remodeled. Brown says classes have also been offered at a local high school as well as Hometown Bank in Jane. During its 50-year history, Crowder has grown, and Brown says they are very blessed to have people so committed to serving the goals of the college. One of those dedicated individuals is James B. Tatum, the person for whom the new approximately 25,000-square-foot building is named.
The two buildings, Newton and McDonald Hall, named after the counties, Newton and McDonald counties, were actually military officers' quarters that were never occupied at the old Camp Crowder site. And so Mr. Tatum, along with Bob Anderson, who was the Neosho superintendent, and other area educators, thought that a community college, or at the time called the junior college, would be appropriate for these buildings. And so they campaigned and worked hard and went to the state and petitioned to do this, and then got it on the ballot to actually have a tax levy paid by the Newton and McDonald County residents to help support the college. Because used to, the way it was handled was the school districts were able to do it. Well, Neosho Schools in McDonald County, Seneca, East Newton, Diamond, they weren't able to afford to do this, so we did the tax for Newton and McDonald counties to provide this service.
Mr. Tatum then became the president of the board and remained in that position up until a few years ago. He is retiring this month after more than 50 years of service to Crowder College and the Board of Trustees. Nursing classes will begin Monday at the new building, a completed project that Director of Public Information Cindy Brown says has been a real community effort.
You know, everything from buying bricks to put along the sidewalk to helping sponsor classrooms and facilities there inside the building. So I think the people of McDonald County and the area are very proud of it, very excited to have it available. I think there are students, maybe not just our traditional age students, but non-traditional students who will see that opportunity maybe arise for them. It's like, well, I wasn't able to drive to Neosho or whatever, but now that I have this community college right here in my backyard, you know, I can do this. I can go to school. I can, you know, be trained for a new career. Or maybe just those that even haven't had the chance to go to school, this may be an opportunity for them. Because their kids, maybe they have children that live at home and different things. So I think that the community pride and the excitement for it will make Friday a fun day.
Crider College will host a ribbon cutting and grand opening ceremony tomorrow morning at 10 at James B. Tatum Hall. The new facility is located at 194 College Road in Jane, Missouri. For more information, you can visit crowder.edu.
You can hear great jazz right here on KUAF every Friday and Saturday night. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, and my show, Shades of Jazz, can be heard Friday and Saturday nights from 10 till midnight. On Friday night, Daniel Estes steps in at midnight till 1 o'clock with Goodnight Jazz, and on Saturdays, it's Fred Hall taking in the midnight to 1 o'clock hour with Swing Thing. Tune in to KUAF for great jazz.
It is Thursday, January 9th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Ooh.
You there in the front row. What?
It's one of my favorite things every year. It's the Shiloh Museum's 6th annual Cabin Fever Reliever.
Now, isn't this where they ask people who have collections to come in?
Yes.
Okay.
Subtitled Collector's Day. Yes. They used to do the pre-Christmas open house, and they decided people needed it more in January.
Absolutely.
So they invite collectors to come in, and on this Saturday from 10 to 2, there will be cornhusk dolls, mm-hmm. marbles and marble games, crystals, rolling pins.
I'm going to stop you right there. So someone has a collection of rolling
Apparently
pins.
Apparently so.
My favorite collections to look at are the collections of things you would think there's only one or two of.
Yes.
Right? How could there be enough to collect rolling pins? So this I want to see.
Well, if you know Abby Burnett, who is a writer and wonderful person in Northwest Arkansas, she used to collect kitchen tools.
Okay.
I promise you, there's not one style of any kind of kitchen tools.
Okay.
So this will be interesting. Ribbon flowers, driftwood, Native American art, watches, paperweights, Siloam Springs memorabilia, mm-hmm. snow globes, pencil sharpeners.
There are some people of a certain age who might not even know what a pencil sharpener is, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
The same ones who don't know how to write 2014 on the check. G.I. Joe toys, mm-hmm. storybook dolls, Christmas pyramids, rocks.
Christmas pyramids. What is a Christmas pyramid?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Pigs.
Okay, I know
magnets,
what pigs are, yeah.
And glass vacuum coffee pots.
Oh, wow.
You should go to the Shiloh Museum from 10 to 2 on Saturday. It is, of course, free. They almost always have juice and cookies.
And the idea behind this, they always put the call out, like if you've got an interesting collection come in, and every year when they do that, we get the call or the email just like a week later, we're full.
Mm-hmm.
People love to collect.
Oh, yeah. My sister and I did. We collect Stetson pottery.
All right.
It's mid-century modern China.
Mm-hmm.
We went one year. It's surprising how many people wanted to talk about mid-century modern China.
You find kindred spirits, I suppose.
Indeed.
So, all right. Well,
it'll be fun. And then you should go back on Wednesday of next week.
Uh-huh.
Because they have a program at noon, their sandwiched-in program, called Weaving Warmth, Uncovering Ozark Coverlets, which are not the same things as quilts.
What is a coverlet, then?
A coverlet is a woven blanket.
Oh, okay.
So you should check this out.
Is that a square rectangle thing? Like, not all blankets are coverlets, but all coverlets are blankets?
No, not all not any quilts are coverlets, and no coverlets are quilts.
Yeah, I'm in over my head. Sorry.
Okay. And you're trying to drag me in with you, so I'm getting out.
I'm taking your word for it. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Carroll County may be the last county in Arkansas to not have a rural public water supply. And as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich's been reporting, residents are strongly divided on constructing one. But there may be a final solution in the works.
I'm Ron Flake, JP for District 4 in Carroll County.
Justice of the Peace Ron Flake is chair of the Public Water Committee of the Carroll County Quorum Court, established a year ago. 4 years earlier, the Quorum Court passed an ordinance to establish a public facilities board to oversee financing and construction of a countywide rural public water delivery system after a great deal of public debate. Advocates said a county water system would help those with failing wells, raise property values, and reduce damage associated with fires. Those in opposition claimed the concept was being pushed by a group of Eastern County developers and farmers and gathered more than 1,200 signatures to bring the matter to a vote. In early 2011, a special election was held, and a majority voted to repeal the Rural Water Ordinance, 1,286, with 869 voting against repeal. Ron Flake blamed the outcome on bad weather and bad information.
Because of some ridiculous rumors going around about how it would require people to close their wells down if they were on the if the rural water system was available, and how there would be large condemnations of land to run the lines through, and those just weren't things that were going to happen, but people were afraid of that.
Public facilities boards can declare eminent domain when pipes have to cross private property, but most lines are buried adjacent to county roads, advocates say. After the Water Facilities Board ordinance was killed, Carroll County Quorum Court avoided any discussion of rural water for about a year until Ron Flake formed an exploratory public water committee last winter to measure public opinion, collect data, and bring the matter once again before voters in 2014.
We have a lot. We have a very rural county, and a lot of people in the country are having some problem with the wells. We had those 2.5 very dry years. Some wells dried up. Some had to be opened up and deepened. And we have some reports of pollution in wells.
Likely traced to nitrogen from agricultural fertilizer and E. coli from animal waste or septage.
We have a lot of poultry operations in the county, and all of them have to have a dual water system. So they have to have two wells, or they have to have a public water system and a well. And some of them were having trouble with that.
Mostly in eastern Carroll County, where a majority appear to be in favor of public water, especially poultry producers. The typical broiler house requires as much as 100,000 gallons of water to raise a flock of 75,000 birds, five times the amount of an average swimming pool. The western side of the county is comprised mostly of migrants, either retired or working in or operating tourist-based businesses in and around Eureka Springs. Half of Carroll County's 28,000 residents rely on private well water. Ron Flake invited local media to his water committee meetings to spread the word on a rural water initiative, inviting comments and ideas. He was also contacted by a Missouri rural water systems engineer who caught wind of the effort and offered assistance as well as financial advice, and pitched the concept of smaller public water authorities.
Smaller, independent water systems to serve certain areas.
A more common and easier process, Ron Flake says, neighborhoods and small towns could collaborate.
There is probably a sufficient supply of groundwater to serve these smaller systems, especially on the north end of the county.
Holiday Island, a private residential development north of Eureka Springs, operates its own water system, as do the Eastern County developers. Remember them, who first pushed to establish a countywide public facilities board? They now pipe water to their own subdivisions. Carroll County Public Water Authorities could tap onto the nearest municipal water system, directly onto the 18-mile-long Carroll Boone Water District, or drill their own wells. Little groundwater is available, but Carroll County sits on top of the Rubidoux Sandstone Formation, a water-rich aquifer, which data show can yield in some places as much as 300 gallons per minute flow.
Some of these public water authorities could have their own wells and establish their own system based on a couple of wells that they put in that would be much cheaper than transporting the water all the way it would have to go.
What is not known are the consequences of numerous public water authorities tapping into the Rubidoux, potentially depleting freshwater preserves, possibly causing private wells nearby to run dry. Carroll County Justice of the Peace and Rural Water Advocate Ron Flake says any public water authority system installation could be financed with low-interest federal and state loans and grants from USDA, State Natural Resources Commission, even ADEQ.
Rates and fees are set based on the loan repayment. Each section in the Public Facilities Board, each section in a Public Water Authority, the water authority itself, repays the cost of building that system.
The Carroll County Public Water Committee presented their findings to the Quorum Court in December and are calling for volunteer rural neighborhoods and communities interested in forming public water authorities to step forward. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh my God.
One thing I really like in a radio story.
What's back there?
Nothing.
It looks empty.
No, there's someone living back there.
Is a mystery.
I'm not going back there.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
Mysteries explained each week. This American Life.
It's Santa Claus.
Resident Evil?
Listen to This American Life Sundays at 10 a.m. on KUAF.
If the weather cooperates, there are a number of annual fundraisers happening this month that will give you the opportunity to have some fun for a good cause. The Northwest Arkansas Family Mercy YMCA will host its Winter Wonderland Tucks on the Run Penguin Race January 18th. The race begins near the Y in Rogers, and the course will use nearby trails and sidewalks. Overall, men's and women's first place trophies and age group trophies for male and female divisions for the 5K run will be awarded, as well as prizes for best dressed, best scarf, and best embodiment of the theme. Pre-registration and packet pickup is scheduled for 5 to 9 p.m. January 17th. The following morning, registration begins at 9 and the race begins at 10. Registration costs $25 before Monday and $35 after that. For details, visit ymcanwa.org.
Also scheduled for January 18th is One in Three, the concert that cares. The event will take place at Executive Escape in Bentonville. Almost Brothers and Big Bag Gina will perform at this benefit for the Northwest Arkansas Rape Crisis Center. Tickets are $25, and you can find out more at nwarapecrisis.org.
Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northwest Arkansas will host its annual Celebrate Little Moments event January 30th at the KFB Event Center in Tawnytown. In honor of National Mentoring Month, the organization will recognize its Bigs of the Year by moving this event to January. Tickets are $30 per person or $50 per couple. For more, visit bbsnwa.org.
The fourth annual Walk a Mile in My Shoes sale to benefit Ozark Guidance is scheduled from 2 to 6 p.m. January 24th and from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. January 25th at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. Approximately 3,500 new and almost new shoes and purses from Northwest Arkansas stores and closets will be sold. Men's and women's shoes will cost $10 each, and children's shoes will be sold for $5 each. Shoes in the designer corner will be available for $20 each. All proceeds will help support counseling services for children, families, and adults. Tomorrow is the last day you can drop off your donations of new or slightly used shoes and purses at any Ozark Guidance location. Visit ozarkguidance.org for more information.
Le Chocolate Feast will return to the Northwest Arkansas Mall January 25th. Suggested donations are $10 for adults and $5 for children 12 and under. There is a limit of 200 children tickets, after which only adult tickets will be available. The event will benefit the Pink Divas of Northwest Arkansas, a local support group serving individuals affected by breast cancer. The event will also benefit Reeling and Healing Midwest, a group that provides fly fishing wellness retreats for women diagnosed with or surviving any type of cancer. For details, visit lechocolatefeast.org. The Memphis-based band Almost Famous will provide entertainment at the 13th annual Paint the Town Red event January 25th at the Fayetteville Town Center. Tickets are $75 per person, and the event benefits the American Heart Association. For details, visit facebook.com/AHANWA.
The Boys and Girls Club of Benton County will host its annual Texas Hold'em Tournament January 25th at Avondale, located at 2005 East Central Avenue in Bentonville. Play begins at 12:30 p.m. and lasts until sometime after sundown. The early entry fee is $90, and entry after tomorrow is $100. 100% of all entry fees will be considered a donation. All proceeds benefit the children of the Boys and Girls Club of Benton County. Nearly $5,000 in prizes will be awarded at the event. Snacks and refreshments will be served. For more, visit bgcbentoncounty.org.
Should you finish the Texas Hold'em tournament early and want to attend another competitive fundraising event, you may be interested in the Literacy Council of Benton County's 7th Annual Scrabble Wars. Vicki Ronald, Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Benton County, says several literacy councils around the country host Scrabble tournaments. The local event allows guests to participate in one of two categories, depending on whether they want to play serious Scrabble, meaning they cannot use reference materials, or if they want to cheat by looking up words on their phones or bribing judges.
You sit around a table, all the tiles are dumped out, and as a team you work to make the highest scoring Scrabble game. And it's timed, a whistle blows, you have to stop. We have judges that walk around and you keep your own score, but we verify it. And then we have two categories, the champions and then the dubious champions. And the dubious champions are the ones that they have thousands and thousands of points because they've bribed judges, they've kissed bald heads, they've gotten up and on stage and done Elvis songs, impersonations. I mean, they'll do anything to win more points. And that's the whole idea. And of course, I mean, bribing the judges is another way we raise money.
Each team has 45 minutes to make the highest scoring Scrabble game they can. The event supports the work of the Literacy Council of Benton County. Ronald says the nonprofit organization, which was founded in 1972, trains and facilitates volunteer tutors to teach adults to improve their English, which involves reading, writing, and speaking.
Right now, about 70% of our students are ESL students, and they are motivated adults. They know that in order to succeed here, they need to know English and they need to know it well. And they study hard and they go on to get better jobs, get promotions within their jobs, save enough money to get a house. And after they've been here 5 years, they'll go for their citizenship. And we help walk them through all those steps. It's just, I think it's just so important. As far as nonprofits go, yes, people must eat. They must have a place to eat and to live and to stay warm and safe. But after that, if they can't read, they're always going to be looking for a handout. And it's a cliche, and I hate to use cliches, but we give a hand up and not a handout. And it's ongoing, and it makes a lasting difference.
Ronald says they have about 50 volunteer tutors, and the organization serves more than 200 students. She says volunteers are asked to come twice a week to meet with students for an hour and a half each time. However, she says that schedule can be flexible. While the upcoming fundraiser centers around the game of Scrabble, the event also features a silent auction. This year, guests can bid on an assortment of items, including a handmade quilt, a Total Gym 1900, Duncan Hines products, and Emeril Lagasse cookware. Assistant Director Kathy Chambers says the silent auction is their main source of income.
We have so many friends in the community who donate items to us. The small businesses and some of the vendors, and we put together some wonderful baskets and gift packages that are really exciting, and that is our main fundraiser. And I think last year we netted about $20,000, which is wonderful for us.
Autographed books are also available in the silent auction. Executive Director Vicki Ronald says one of their board members spends quite a bit of time contacting authors, explaining the fundraiser to them, and then asking the writers for autographed books.
It's amazing. I'd say 95% of our books are signed by the author. And there's some really obscure ones, and then there's some bestsellers. And one of my favorite ones was we got Eric Weissel once signed a book and sent it to us. And we got Graham Nash's Scrabble board. His actual used Scrabble board with him, a picture of him standing there, you know, with his Scrabble board. So there's a cult out there of Scrabble people. I didn't know this, but there is. And it's fun to watch them when they come. That's the best thing, is just watching them play. That's the most fun.
Ronald says the increased popularity of Words with Friends, a word game similar to Scrabble you can play on a number of electronic devices like your smartphone, has helped with the event, where, she says, people often have a good time.
One person said this is the most fun event. They use their, you know, there's something to do, and they want to win one of the categories. And also, it's casual. I mean, it's dressy comfortable is what we say. And we had a lot of people say, oh, I just love this event because, heck, I'm just so comfortable here. And so, and also, it's over early. It's over by 9. And so the younger people were like the pre-party. And then the older people think, oh, good, I get to go home now. That's me.
The 7th Annual Scrabble Wars will begin at 6 p.m. January 25th at Doubletree Suites in Bentonville. Admission is $50 per person. If you're interested in becoming a tutor, the Literacy Council of Benton County will host a tutor training session at 9:30 a.m. next Wednesday at the Rogers Public Library. More information is available at goliteracy.org.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now...
Watson?
Who is Agatha Christie?
Correct.
Same category, 600.
The Watson supercomputer won Jeopardy, but MIT's Eric Brynjolfsson says that's just the beginning. Driverless cars, intelligent robots, we're in the middle of a new machine age. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Here and Now, coming up next here on KUAF. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Spiro, Oklahoma.
Spiro, Oklahoma. Good job. I like it. Well, before we go, we do have a couple more notes about blood drives. The University of Arkansas is hosting an American Red Cross We Challenge You blood drive on January 22nd and 23rd. All presenting donors will receive a commemorative T-shirt while supplies last. College and high school blood drives account for as much as 20% of donations given through the Red Cross. This program encourages college students to get involved in the community by organizing blood drives and recruiting friends and faculty to give during the blood drives, especially during the winter months. The University of Arkansas We Challenge You blood drives have been scheduled for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on January 22nd and 23rd at the Northwest Quad Lounge. Prior to donating blood, donors can register, complete a brief health history screening, and have their blood pressure, pulse rate, temperature, and iron level checked. The entire donation process takes about an hour, but the actual blood donation takes about 10 minutes. Refreshments are provided at the end of the donation process. Recent winter weather forced the Red Cross to cancel more than 250 blood drives in 25 states, which has resulted in the loss of thousands of donations. Donors with all blood types are encouraged to donate, but there is an urgent need for donors with types O negative, O positive, A negative, and B negative. To make an appointment to donate or for more information, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2763 or visit redcrossblood.org. You can enter UAFAY in the sponsor code field on the donation appointment page to find out more about the specific one.
Okay. One of those blood drives that was canceled due to weather was one at Fayetteville High School that was scheduled for the day following the Student Council's annual homeless vigil. Both events have been rescheduled for next week. The annual homeless vigil will begin at 5 o'clock Monday afternoon and continue through the night until the goal of $20,000 is met on Tuesday. Student Council members will host their rescheduled blood drive on Tuesday. For more information, you can visit fayar.net. I feel sort of bad for admitting this, but I'm going to go ahead and admit it. I've never given blood.
I haven't either.
It seems like now would be a good time to
Now is a good time to do it, and we have plenty of opportunities fairly close to us, so... Right. Maybe we'll put this on our calendar. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening. We're going to end the show today with some music by The Flaming Lips. It was announced this morning that they will be performing at Wakarusa this year, the 11th annual music festival at Mulberry Mountain. It's June 5th through the 8th. Tickets are on sale now. They've been announcing... musicians a little bit at a time.
The last few weeks.
An announcement last week. This was the second round. The third and final round will be next Thursday. If you want to find out more, wakarusa.com. Thanks again for listening and have a great Thursday. Do you